Okay, I'd like to try to explain a complex legal issue with the risk of having judges or lawyers around, that the Gemara here on Mem Zayin Amud Beis is Mechadesh. The Gemara here says that a promissory note is a commodity. It's something that we view as something that can be traded or given, and it has a value. What it means to say, in the Gemara's case, if someone owes me $100, and I have a promissory note that he owes me $100, so I can go to a lady and say, I'm a Kaddish you with this note. Now, she's not getting anything now. She's getting a promise of future money. I can write my own promissory note, say, I owe you $100, and Mekadosh a woman with it, so I'm not giving her anything. Yet, if the promissory note is from a third party, if somebody else has an IOU, somebody owes me $100, once I have debt, the debt exists before the Kedushin, I have debt that someone owes me money, that paper has value, and then I could be Mekadosh Anisha with that piece of paper. What that means essentially is that once the debt is created, once someone owes me money, that paper has value, and I could be Mekadosh a woman. But I'm now creating the debt, now I write out a shtar. When I have the shtar, it's not debt, it's my own note, then I cannot be Mekadosh a woman with that note. That's the idea that it says here in the Gemara. Tosis points out that it has to really be a shtar chayv from someone else. It can't even be her shtar chayv. But this is the nekuda that the Gemara says, that shtar chayv nikna b'mesiri. You can trade, you can sell, you can transfer debt by passing a note on. There's a question of you just handing it over or signing it, but you can. It's possible to transfer debt, and that's called a sale. Even though somebody will argue there's nothing there, it's just a promise. No, once debt is created, the Torah recognizes that as something real. If someone owes me money and I have a shtar chayv, that's something of value, I could sell it, I could be Mekadosh Anisha with it, debt is real. Now that's the halach. The Gei Hilchis Ribbis, the Rambam says, I have a case of something that seems to be Ribbis, but it's 100% mutter. Now, what's the case? Again, we're talking about debt. Let's say I lend someone money. I have a note. He owes me $1,000, payable in a year. So right now, I have a note, and I'm going to get $1,000 in a year, but I need the money today. Now, if I go to someone, I say, lend me $900, I'll give you $1,000 at the end of the year, that would be ribbis. If I go over to someone and say, let me $900, I'll pay you $1,000 at the end of the year, that's a regular case of ribbis. What I'm doing is I'm not doing that. I tell someone, let me $900, and I'll give you this note. The note says that in a year, I'm supposed to get $1,000. I'll transfer the debt to you, and you'll get $1,000 at the end of the year. And what's happening is, you're giving me $900, and he's getting $1,000 at the end of the year. So since he's selling the note, since we see the note as a real commodity, therefore it's mutter on the condition that he accepts responsibility. He has to accept liability from today and on. But you can sell debt, and in effect, it's like ribbis. I'm getting $900 today, and the $1,000 I'm supposed to get at the end of the year is going to go to him. Now that's mutter. The Rambam says it's mutter, and there's no question. You can sell debt. If you have a bond, you can sell the bond. If you have whatever it is, if it's pre-existing debt, if it exists before, in other words, if somebody owes me money, I can transfer it to someone else. And it's not an issur of ribbis. How's about this? I don't have any note. But I go over to you, I say, you know what? Here, I'll write an IOU that I owe the holder of this note $1,000, and I'll tell you, I'll sell it to you for $900. So that's not mutter. There's no pre-existing debt. If debt exists, I could sell it. Here, I'm creating debt. I'm taking a paper, I'm writing an IOU. When I have it, it's not worth anything. It's just a piece of paper. It says, I owe the holder money, and I'm the holder, and I'm the one who owes. It's nothing. I want to create debt and tell you, give me $900, and here is the shtar. That's ribbis. You're giving me $900 now, and I'm creating my debt to you of $1,000 a year to pay payable in a year. That's awesome. The same difference in the Gemara. You mekadesh an isha. If you have prior debt which exists already, paper from a third party, then you can sell it at a discount. But if I'm creating it now, I can't tell an isha mekadesh you with this note that I'm writing now, because it's not a pre-existing debt. It has to be a pre-existing debt to be able to be considered an item that could be sold, that could be transferred. If it doesn't exist, if I'm now I'm creating the debt, then I'm creating debt. I'm just saying, give me $900, I'll create debt, I'll owe you $1,000. That's ribbis. Follow? Okay, this is the kuda. It's not as complicated as I'm making it sound. Okay? If I have a note that already exists, I can be a Kaddish and Isha, I could sell it with a Kenyan, I could give it a discount, it's fine, it's a commodity. But if I'm just writing it out now, that doesn't do anything. If I take a paper and write an IOU, when I have it, it's not debt. I'm not selling it. I'm creating it by giving it to someone. Speak up a little, I don't know.
Can you explain again why, if I have a note for $1,000, I'm giving it to this guy for $900, and he's going to get $1,000, that's not ribbis.
Okay, the reason it's not ribbis is because the Torah recognizes that debt has value, and the Torah recognizes that waiting to get your money is a liability. We don't deny that it's worth something. Ribbis is not awesome because we say it's not true that there's a value in holding money. It's not true. We know there's a value. We know there's a value in having money earlier, and it's worth less if you're getting it later. Just it's us, it's ribbis. But we recognize that a debt, a $1,000 note payable in a year, is not worth $1,000. It's only worth $900. So therefore, I'm allowed to sell it for $900. Just like I can sell an Esrig 2 weeks before Sukkot, today it's not worth it. It's going to be worth something in 2 weeks. So I can sell a note. It's going to be worth something then. So it's already worth something now because it'll have a value then. And then that's the idea of selling a shtar chayv or doing kinyanim on a shtar chayv. The bottom line is that the Torah recognizes the value in a promissory note, in a bond, in a debt which exists, the Torah recognizes, but not if I create it now. Now, in practical terms, let's say I want to lend someone money. I don't have the money. I could really play this game. I could tell him, look, I want to lend you money. I'm willing to lend you money for free. I just don't have it. You know what I'll do? I'll write out a promissory note that I owe you $1,000, and you go sell it for $900. So I can do that. What I'm really doing, I'm doing my friend a favor. I'm writing a promissory note, which is not fiction, it's true. I owe the holder of this note $1,000. I give it to my friend. And then my friend goes out and he sells it for $900. So he gets a $900 loan. And I have to pay the holder of the note $1,000. And he'll pay me $1,000 because I lent him $1,000 by giving him the promissory note. So I give him a promissory note, he owes me $1,000. I don't have the money, so I give him a note instead. He goes out and he can sell it for $900. In effect, he engineered a way of borrowing for ribbis. By me giving him a note, he got a $1,000 note, he owes me the $1,000. And then he sold the note to someone else for $900, he got $900, he's going to pay back $1,000. It's sort of a trick that works in dealing with ribbis. Now this is all, everything I told you till now is a halacha psuka. It's a very clear concept. If it works with kedushin, then it works everywhere, because kedushin is not, is isurim, and it works. Notes are real. Here's the big question. The question is, what about it? What is a check? If I have a check, let's say I have money in the bank, and I write out a check. Now that check is a $1,000 check. Let's say pay to bearer. It's a $1,000 check. When I hold that check, and I want to sell it at a discount, I go to a check cashing place, and I write out a check, and they take whatever, they take 2%. Am I allowed to make, I can't make my own debt. I can't write out, I owe you $1,000, and give it to someone, and he gives me 2% less. The question is, when I write out a check, is that the bank owes it to me? It's a pre-existing debt. And then, when I sell the check, I'm allowed to sell it at a discount. It's a note. The bank owes me money, and I'm selling it at a discount. Or maybe not. Maybe it should be like a promissory. See, he says it should be like a promissory note. The bank owes me money, even though the bank didn't sign it, but the bank set up a system of checks. So he says it's like a promissory note. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not a promissory note. A check is just a letter, an instruction to the bank. Mr. Bank, you have my money? Give it to whoever's holding this. In other words, the heter of the sugya is you could sell a chayiv by passing on a shtar chayiv. Is a check a shtar chayiv? In other words, when I give you a check, I go to a grocery, I give someone a check, am I saying the bank owes me money, now the bank owes it to you? Or am I saying, no, the bank owes me money. A check is just a letter, it's a note. Like I give someone a note. I say, here's a note, and go to my friend who's holding my money, and the note says he'll give it to you. It's a piece of paper that says he should give it to you. You understand? There are two ways to look at a check. A check could be looked at as an instrument of a pre-existing debt. The bank owes me money. I write the check, I give it to you, the bank owes it to you. Or you could look at a check legally. The bank owes me money, but what's it got to do with the check? The check is just a letter. It says, Mr. Bank, please give whoever's holding this the money you're holding for me. Is it a transfer of debt, or is it not a transfer of debt? That's the shaila. Assuming the money's in the account. Money's not in the account. You can't transfer debt if there's no debt.
Well, could you give that guy the paper without money in the account?
You certainly can't sell a check at a discount. The only heter you would have to sell a $1,000 check for $900 is if you look at it as the same as our Gemara. It's a piece of paper. It's a commodity. It's a pre-existing debt, and I'm selling it at a discount. But it depends how you look at a check. If you look at a check as the bank owes me money, and now the bank owes it to you, then it's like any other bond. It's like any other debt. If you look at it, what?
Second part of check. Let's say someone gives me a check.
It'll pretty much be the same, Shaila. If you have a second party check, someone gave me a check and you want to pass it on. If that means the bank owes him money, now the bank owes you money, now the bank owes a third person money. But, what? Well, to the degree that you're using a check for it, yes, it'll be the same idea. Same idea. Factoring is usually done with other things, not with checks, but not with your own check. The question is my own check. So I want to tell you, in shuvis that were written in England, the Chizitza was a rabbi in England at the time, and in Eretz Yisrael, they say giving a check is a transfer of a pre-existing loan. And what? It's not only negotiable, it's definitely a negotiable instrument, but it's a passing on of debt. In other words, when I give you a check, the bank owes you the money. That means if the bank goes bad, goes under, you take the loss. If I give you a check and I'm transferring the bank's debt to you and you agree to accept it, that means the bank goes under, you take the loss. If you look at it the other way, that a bank is just a letter to somebody, so it's just instructions, then the bank, I owe you the money, I'm giving you instructions. The bank goes under, I still owe you the money. So I want to tell you, in 95 or so, when I wrote the book on Ribbis, I'd gone through this, and they say the both the Michas Yitzchak, which is written in England, and Rablau, who is wrote in Eretz Yisrael, they say a check is a transfer of debt, and once the debt is transferred, so you can sell it at a discount. In Eretz Yisrael, people all the time, they go to check cashing places, and they cash it at a discount. What bothered me is it seems to me, and I've written about it, that the banking laws in the United States are very different than the banking laws in Britain. And Eretz Yisrael doesn't have its own laws. It's pretty much the English banking laws are still from when the state began. In England, putting a stop order on a check without due cause is a crime. It's a crime to put a stop order on a check without due cause. It's fraud. In the United States, it's not that way. In the United States, you can put a stop order on a check. There's no crime at all. The person goes after you for the money afterwards. The legality seems to be different in America as compared to Europe and Eretz Yisrael, and that has a lot of consequences. Not only this rivers, if you want to be mekadesh anisha with a check. You go over to a woman, you say, hurry up, I don't have any money. You write out a $100 check. You want to be mekadesh her, assuming there's money in the bank. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. But let's say there's money in the bank. You want to be mekadesh anisha with a check. If you hold the check, is the bank's debt to you? That's our gemara. You could use a shtar chayiv, and you could be mekadesh anisha if you hold it to transfer of debt. To me, it's not so clear. I wrote an analysis of the weight difference of checks between the United States and Britain. And before I published the book, I sent it to one judge, to one lawyer, and to one law professor. So I got three different answers. And one of them said it's on target, one of them said it's a piece of garbage, and one of them said, oh, you got to make a few changes. So I ended up giving it to Rav Bleich, and I published it at least to the degree that I had written originally in a way that that he felt was accurate. And it's at least a ha'ara on the status of American checks. It's not at all clear that an American check has a din of a shtar chayv. That's my point. In Eretz Yisrael, in Britain, a check is a shtar chayv. You're transferring the bank's debt to the person who gets it. In America, it's not clear that it's a shtar chayv. It may just be a letter telling somebody, go to the bank, they're holding my money. And that's the nafkamina. Akapanim, the first part of what I told you tonight is definitely so, that when you give a paper that does transfer debt, halacha sees it as a commodity. It's a way sort of around Hilchas Ribbis, Mekadesh Anisha. If someone's stuck, he wants to Mekadesh Anisha with a check, he should better get an IOU from his friend, and he can be Mekadesh Anisha with that, if it's worth anything. Rishkayach, everybody.